I live on the grill and a different thing, so I mean, just say I had my share, and I appreciate all the hard work. I know that just didn't happen, and so I appreciate there's plenty to go around. People said, go get some more. I was like, I got it coming out of my ears, man. Come on, I can't get any more. But anyway, I appreciate everybody's hospitality. I appreciate Pastor P's invite to be able to come here to Faith. We've enjoyed ourselves. We appreciate the hospitality, again, that's been shown to us. And, you know, it sounds almost, you know, just going through the motion of saying it. You know, we just appreciate hospitality because it doesn't happen every place we go. And so we don't take it for granted. That's why I take time to say we appreciate it. You know, got our hands shaking off as we've been here. And again, we just say thank you for how much y'all have just really opened the door and rolled the red carpet out for me and my family. Well, for this service that we have here together, I don't plan on tarrying long. You know, we have different things that are going on this afternoon. Not that I want the Word of God to suffer, but I don't want time to be a distraction at all from, you know, the message. So I have really one main point to make, and I do pray that I want us during this afternoon session actually to think a little bit outside the box. And we say, what do you mean by that? You know, actually, I believe thinking outside the box of what I'm getting ready to speak on, I believe actually has a little to do with my personality. You know, my personality when I was growing up, I have an older brother, and I have a little brother, so obviously I'd be in the middle kid. I always had a fit, like I was always fighting, you know, always trying to keep up with my older brother. Yeah, you know, still got to be better than my little brother and different things. And I remember when I was growing up, one thing my mom never really had to convince me to do was getting ready for church. I always loved to dress up. I didn't mind a tie, I didn't mind a vest or anything like that. So I got ready for church, you know, I got all dressed up, and I remember this one time I was getting ready for church, and this actually has something to do with the direction we're going, but, you know, I remember getting ready for church, and I looked in the mirror, and I thought to myself, you know, yeah, I look okay, but I need to take it to the next level, you know what I mean? Got to do a little bit better, got to outshine my brother. So I remember I went to the restroom, and I opened up my mom's stuff, and I began to look through something, and I found me a good old tub of Vaseline. And I took that Vaseline tub, and I began to cake it all over myself, my friend. I mean, all of my hands, my head. I had a bald head at that time. I mean, just slip ball. I mean, could you just imagine a bowling ball, I guess, that had eyeballs in it? That's exactly what I look like. I mean, I was just sparkling shine. And I come out of the room, and here I am. I'm ready for church, you know. Got my vest, got my tie and everything. And I had to be a cut above, you know, take it to the next level, you know. And so I'm over there. I got all of my stuff, and I walk over to where my mom is. And I kind of say, hey, Mom, well, how do I look, you know? Expecting laud and praise. She just looks at me, look like an idiot. But, you know, she said, you know, Adrian, you look fine. And as she didn't really take note of how I looked, I thought, you know, I got to take this to the next level. You know, I got to dress up a little bit more. I got to stand down. So I remember as she was over there, she was ironing some clothes over in the washroom area. And I noticed that as she was ironing those clothes, you know, she had spray on starch and she also had her iron. And she sprayed the clothes and then she'd take the iron and she would go across the clothes. And it seemed to my kid mind, every time she goes, oh, those clothes, it becomes a little bit more shinier. You know what I mean? You said, no, you didn't. Oh, yes, I did. My mom, she left the iron, and she said, don't leave that iron. You better leave that iron alone. And she went over to the room and got ready for church. And I grabbed that spray on starch, and I began the tedious process of ironing myself. I took that spray on starch, I put it all over my arm. I plugged that iron back in, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to the next level, you know what I mean? I gotta be a little bit better than everyone else, a little bit better than my brother. So I take that iron, and as I do, I let it get nice and hot. You said, no, you didn't. Oh, yes, I did. I put that iron on top of my skin, and folks, actually, I didn't feel a thing. I had put so much grease on my arm that literally I didn't feel it. And so actually, I said, this isn't working. And so I began to press down upon it. Ever heard of pain? I felt it. I assure you. I mean, my whole body began just, as I felt it crawling up in a little ball. You know, as I was there and trying to do this. And as I threw that iron back, you know, my arm, actually my entire arm was a blister. I tried to hide it from my mom throughout the entire service. And I'm in church just holding my arm like a little puppy. Like, I'm going to die. And finally, I showed her my arm and different things. And I told her, Mom, I touched the iron. I shorted this huge whelp on my arm. But all that at the expense of just trying to take it to the next level. Got to do a little bit better. You know, someone runs a marathon, I got to run 27 miles, you know? And I think there's one area that I think as a Christian life, we should always aspire to take it to the next level. You know, you say, what do you mean? I don't think there's a person in this room, don't raise your hand, but what if I said this? Who is thankful for what God has done for them in their life? I don't think there's not going to be anybody in this room who is not going to say, you know what, I am thankful for that which God has given to me. I take note, I appreciate, I give thanksgiving to God for that which he has placed in my life. I don't think there's anybody who's going to keep their hand down and say, no, I'm not really thankful for God. I don't think anybody's going to do that. No. I say, let's take it to the next level. I believe we are thankful. But here's a question. Are we content? Say, what do you mean by that? Oh, I believe there's a stark difference between just being thankful for what God has given to us and being content in where God has placed us. And I believe, actually, it's an epitome of spiritual maturity. If you look in Philippians, that's where we're going to be. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 is where we're going to be. Being content, not just thankful, but to the next level and being content where God has placed us. Just a simple thought here from the Word of God this afternoon. But I pray it's a simple thought that stays with us inside of our heart and inside of our mind concerning this matter of contentment. The Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. That's not the verse we're looking at. But the Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm not trying to put words where the Bible doesn't put words, but I just only can imagine that. Can a person be godly and not be content? Because godliness with contentment is great gain. So I'm just wondering, can a person have every attribute of loving God and doing this thing, but truly not be content? So you say, what's the definition of contentment? I plan to give you one at the very end of this message, and let's just hopefully, by the grace of God, come to the conclusion that, God, I shall be content. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verses number 11 through 13 is where we're going to be. The Bible says this, in verse number 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Being content. Let's have a word of prayer as we get started. Father in heaven, Lord, I do love, and I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I don't want to belabor anything, Lord, that doesn't need to be labored, but Lord, I do not want to neglect anything that needs to be said. So, Lord, during the short time that we have together, well, I pray, Lord, that you would just impress upon my heart that which you want to be able to relay to your people here this afternoon. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you remove the distractions from our heart, give us renewed energy, Lord, and strength to be able to focus on that which you have put in your word for us. I pray, Lord, that we will understand how important it is to fight against covetousness, Lord, against these different things, Lord, that are enemies of the contentment of resting in you, that you know that which is best for our life. Help us not just to be thankful Christians, help us to be content Christians. I think for everything you've done, I will do. In Christ's name, I do pray it all. Amen. You know, first off, as you look here in this passage, Paul is speaking, he's not sitting inside of a plushy little Hilton hotel as he's writing this. He's sitting inside of a prison cell for doing that which God has called him to do. And so in the midst of, you know, doing that which is right, he has seemingly necessarily unpleasant circumstances. Isn't it so true that many times as we're serving God and doing something and something unpleasant comes our way, that many times we start bringing up our credentials to God, you know? Hey, God, I did this. Hey, God, I serve here. Hey, I gotta do this. And could you imagine Paul bringing up the credentials. Here I am in prison, you know, for doing what you have to do. This is not luxury. This is not plush. This is horrible. But do you know what he says? He's preaching, he's teaching right here in Philippians chapter 4 about contentment that's not based upon his circumstances. So number one, we see the lesson of contentment in verse number 11. The Bible says this, not that I speak in respect of want. Look at the word, for I have learned how to be content. You see, you know what Paul is saying? Look, just like it took me time to learn my ABCs, just like it took time for me to learn my 1, 2, 3s, just like it took me time to learn different things, I had to learn how to be content. It never comes natural for any individual to walk up to an instrument and begin to play. I'm sure Brother Fire, he didn't pick up a crumpet one day and begin to play and just think, oh man, this is pretty cool, and be able to play and do these things. No one sat behind a piano and says, you know what, these look really neat, and just automatically know how to play. It took work to be able to get to that, am I correct? You say, of course. See, it never comes natural for a person to go through a situation in their life that God has seemed like, what, God, why'd you allow this to happen to me? And just say, well, glory, hallelujah. Oh man, my so-and-so just died. Hey, my parents just split up. Well, hallelujah. Oh, that's great. Just lost my job. Isn't that just wonderful? It never comes natural for any person to just say, God, it's okay in the midst of a trial within my life. But you know what Paul says? Hey, look, about contentment, I learned how to do this. It took time. And seeing that it doesn't come natural to me, I'm just saying, folks, yes, thankful is one thing, but to be content and say, God, it is okay in the midst of this happening. So let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand, don't mouth anything to me. But let's just be honest. Has there ever felt a time like in your life where you felt deserted by God? Now, again, I know the spiritual lingo. Of course not. God shall never leave me or forsake me. Okay, fine. I know that. But I'm talking about when you're laying in bed, you still can't sleep. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get up, you're thinking about something, and you get to go to bed, you think about something, and you get ready to go to work, you still think about that same thing. And it seems like almost not like one day that's bad, but it seems like it's a whole period of your time of your life where it seems that you're always constantly plagued by that same thing that's been going on and on and on inside of your heart and inside of your mind. I'm talking about something like that. And when you come to the conclusion that, God, where are you? You know, Paul's saying, like, look, he talked about the thorn in flesh later on in 2 Corinthians. And it says, look, God, please remove this. And God said, you know what? I am not going to remove this. Do you know why? Because I don't want you to get exalted above measure. I want you to understand that I am still in control. And you know, as you look here in this passage, Paul says, look, and this process of time, it is not easy. It is not something that is just natural. But my friend, I have learned these things. You know, not only did Paul learn this matter about contentment, but you continue to go down and you learn not only the lesson, but verse number 12, you learn the extent of contentment. It says this, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. You know what Paul says? He says, look, I have been on both sides of the railroad track. I know what it's like over here to be rich. I know what it's like over here to be poor. I know what it's like to be well respected. I know what it's like to be hated. I have been on both sides, and both I have learned how to be content. You know, as you look here and you see the extent of contentment, you know, Paul knows what he's talking about. You know, Paul, before when he was Saul, do you know how respected that man was? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. That man was brilliant. You know, even among the respected peers, he still stood up above his class. Do you realize that when you think about the Apostle Paul, you know, the first 5 books of the Bible, they're called the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Do you realize that most likely, Paul being a Pharisee of the Pharisees, that he had Genesis through Deuteronomy memorized? Memorized the entire law. Now, have you even read through Leviticus? Have you read about what goes on in there? I mean, this person split this person's guts. You know, I mean, he's like, are you kidding me? And he had this whole thing mirrored. The man was brilliant. He was respected. And he says, look, I have been on both sides. And he says, but both sides are to be content. You know, unfortunately, many times that contentment is based on our circumstances. Let's just be honest. You know, I met people like this, you know, oh man, got some money in the bank, man, life, everything's going great. Oh man, just lost a job, can't, gotta be sad now, you know. Look, this here, though, this came out here, kids are doing good in school, this is going on in my life. Oh, but this happens and it comes down, things go down and now my countenance is down as well. You know, he says, look, my contentment is not based upon my circumstances. My contentment is based upon Christ, and Christ is never changing. And since my contentment is based upon him, then that means my satisfaction and my reliance upon him does not change either. You know, when you look about this matter of contentment, he says, look, I'm over here, and he says, look, I'm content whether I walk to the doctor and he shakes his head and he says there's nothing else I can do, or whether I come over here and he gives me a clean bill of health. I'm content whether or not the bills are stacked up right here and my money's stacked up right here, or whether my money's stacked way up here and my bills are stacked down here. I'm content whether or not the kids are just being like crazy, and I'm content and when the kids are just doing that which is right. I'm content in both circumstances of my life because it's not based upon my circumstances. It is based upon Christ. And he says, look, this is the extent of my contentment. Look, first I had to learn this. After I learned it, I understand it now. Things change. Things happen within the midst of me being content. But do you know, honestly, do you know what becomes the greatest enemy of many times just contentment? And I mentioned in my prayer, but a little word called covetousness. Where God has given us everything we needed. But my neighbor has. But my friends at work have. Yeah. My people, the friends at my school, they're allowed to. And they're allowed to go such and such. And you know, honestly, this is a whole nother mess in itself, and I don't want to get too distracted, but do you know what has become one of the greatest enemies of this, about the greatest enemies of discipleship and these things? Literally is the American dream. You say, what's wrong with having this and having that? Do you know, honestly, it's kind of taking things backwards to where instead of saying, hey, God, what can I give you? It's, hey, God, what can I get from you? And saying, hey, look, they have this over here. Why don't I not have God giving me this? God does not owe us a house and a 2-car garage. God does not owe us any of these things. My friend, we have to come to the point where we owe God and give him our lives. And many times we look this way and that way with our palm up to heaven saying, hey, God, why don't I have? Why am I not allowed to? My friend, I'm saying we have got to understand that just because, you know, I know a health and wealth gospel is being preached today, But do you know what? God may want you to lose that. But I may want you to lose that job. I mean, you sound so terrible. But I'm just saying that it could be something that God is teaching me in the midst of this so that I can learn something. You know, many times people say, well, I got a flat tire on my car. And then they look on the brighter side. Well, you never know. There could have been a wreck 5 miles down the road and I get a wreck. And that could be true. But do you know what? God could have popped your tire just so you learned some patience. You know, God could have popped your tire just so you can be able to come to depend upon him. I'm just saying, it's not just all about the safety and this and that. He sometimes wants to change us within the midst of this. You know, so we see first, you see the lesson. And then when you see that, you see the extent of the contentment. Now you say, man, brother, this is hard preaching. You know, you're right. I believe that this truly is one of the extents of spiritual maturity. I really do. But then you come down to many people's life verse, one of the most important verses concerning this matter. And lastly, you see the power of contentment. And that is this. Verse 13, it says this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Do you know, this verse many times taken out of context, Pastor. You know, people say, Brother Ranger, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, so I can go jump over a building. Well, good luck. I love to see it. You know what I mean? Hey, I mean, let's not take the verse and just flap it on everything. What's the context of what's going on? You got a man sitting inside a prison cell for doing that which is right. Man, alive, he's sitting inside his little cold, dark little place. A man probably very dark. He has a little bit of light coming down from the window. He has a little cheap quill pen and a little parchment of paper where he's pinning down the words of God. He got running around his feet, rats the size of house cats, as he's trying to sleep at night. I mean, terribly uncomfortable. And he's looking out, and as he's saying, look, I am not speaking irrespective of what, because this I had to learn. And then he says, how is this possible? How are you able to say hallelujah in the midst of this darkest time in your life? Can you see him writing it? Because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, many times we quote that verse, I can do all things which strengtheneth me. Got myself in this situation, I'm getting myself out of the situation. I don't need any crutch, I don't need anybody helping me out. And they come to church and seemingly unhappy, and you see somebody else walking around, and they seem to have a smile on their face, seeing the peace of God, and it's like, if I drove the kind of car they drove, then I wouldn't have these problems. Or if I had the house they lived in, then I wouldn't. You know, they probably got the same problems you've got. They probably got the same issues you have. But you know, the difference is, you're going to figure out yours. And they're going to give theirs to God. You know, I believe, and I'm closing up, but with all my heart, that many times we get so wrapped up with the circumstances, and unfortunately, we miss the point of these trials and things of our lives. In closing, have you ever seen ladies that do cross stitching, like the little sewing things? And you know, if you look at a cross stitch or whatever, you look at the front of it. You know, always I know it's because of Pinterest, but you know, if you look at the front of it, you can see like, you know, this beautiful little cross stitch, like, you know, Lord bless his home or whatever it is. You know, a design that has been made. But again, it could be different nowadays. But from the ones that I've seen, if you turn the cross stitch to the back, do you know how many times you see a mess, you know, just thread going this way. It's like red, green, and purple. It's like, I mean, in the pattern, you know what I mean? And so you see all this stuff coming out. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you look at the back of it. Now, okay, let's take the cross stitch, and let's just say you're looking at the cross stitch. Now you see the front, you see the picture. Let's take this cross stitch, and let's put it over our heads, okay? And now as it's over our heads, we're looking at the bottom of the cross stitch. And God is looking at the top of the cross stitch. See, here's many times what happened. We are underneath the cross stitch trying to figure out what's going on. Why on earth would that person walk out of me in my life? Why on earth, God, would you allow my parents to be separated this time in my life? Hey, God, why would you allow that child to do this and break my heart? Hey, God, why would you allow me to lose this job at this time? Hey, God, why would you allow me, not that I can't get this or I can't get this? And we're standing underneath the cross stitch trying to figure things out. And God is looking down from heaven, and he's saying, look, I see the big picture. I see what I'm making in your life. I see the whole point. So you just trust me. Do you know what we need to do many times? Instead of picking and figuring and thinking and adding and doing this, is get from beneath the cross stitch and look to God and say, God, you're right, I can't explain all that's going on under there, but I trust you.
I rely upon you. You know what's best for me in my life. I can't add it up. I can't figure it out. I don't know exactly how it's all going to work out in the end, but I trust you. You know what I believe that is? That's contentment. That's contentment. It's not, well, can't walk here. It's not just, hey, God, here comes Thanksgiving. Thank you for a turkey. It's not just, oh, I got this. Hallelujah, I got it. Contentment, and here's my definition, is an unwavering dependence upon Christ that does not change with my external circumstances. An unwavering dependence that, God, you know what is best, even though, quote unquote, I don't get it. You know, I encourage us to think outside the box a little bit. I encourage us not to take it to the next level and not just be thankful, but be content. Can we have a word of prayer? Lord, I love you and I thank you. Lord, just a simple thought from your word here in Philippians.